One being that we need to know that we are forgiven. Can you talk a little bit more about that and maybe the experiences you've had in coming to understand that foundational reality in your own life?
Yes, and I've realized this also as I've connected with other women across the years of my life, that when we understand, and when we grow in this every day of our lives until we go to be with the Lord, that we are forgiven for every possible mistake or mark that has set against us in our lives. You know, when we first come to know Christ and accept Him, His blood covers every sin that we ever commit. But it also, that first time we come to Jesus, He covers that separation sin, that sin that caused God to take Adam and Eve out of the garden. That is done. We are good to go with God. And then we live life and we find that we daily sin. And so we have this great promise in 1 John 1:9 that we're always forgiven for every sin. We just confess our sin and He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin. And then thirdly, which is another aspect of forgiveness, is the ability to forgive others. You know, Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer that we are to forgive others, help us to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And I have found as I've worked with women across the years that forgiving others could be a hang-up for some of us. I've been growing in this a lot in my life in the last decade and a half of forgiving others. So we are forgiven, we are daily forgiven, and we are urged by Jesus Himself to forgive others. So forgiveness is a huge aspect of our discipleship, of following Him. I feel that when I sit before the Lord each day and ask for forgiveness for the things that I have done that displeased Him, that He gives me a sense of like a clean slate, that we're good and that I can see Him more clearly for the day and follow Him. So it's just really important.
So when it comes to discipling another woman, this seems incredibly important because we need to know that we are right with Him before we can encourage another that she can also be right with Him. It seems like we can't be tied up in our own minds that there's something that we are doing that's keeping us from God. And yet I feel like that's a conversation that women have a lot with each other, is that we constantly don't feel that we are enough. That maybe we're not totally forgiven, that perhaps we're not exactly sitting where we should be. Perhaps the work that He's done is not enough to make us, that we could be seen by the Lord as being redeemed.
Yes, this is huge for women, and probably for men too, but that's one of the reasons I chose the woman in Luke 7 to do a little bit more deeper Bible study in this chapter on forgiveness. Because there is no one in Scripture more needy than, and I call her the prostitute of Luke 7. She is known throughout her town as being completely immoral and ungodly. And when she comes to the dinner and anoints Jesus' feet, we learn a lot about forgiveness through her life. And so part of understanding that she was forgiven, I hope that women, if they have anything in the past or even in the present that they kind of hide away in their heart and don't deal with, that they'll bring that out into the open before the Lord and let Him have it and let Him forgive. Jesus is enough to forgive. And sometimes as well, as human beings, when we think He can't forgive a sin or something that we have done in the past that seems so terrible and huge to us, it's pride that keeps us from trusting Him. He has forgiven it. We need to lean into Him and say, I don't believe You can forgive that. That was awful. I shouldn't have done that, or whatever it was. And then just lay ourselves at the feet of His throne, just at His feet. And just, that's what I do with anything. I just lay, just envision myself at His feet and seeking His forgiveness, and then I have to look up into His face and believe that He has forgiven me. And you know, that takes time sometimes. Mm-hmm. Let him forgive us. Let us walk in that forgiveness. He will convince us. He will show us, because He certainly is powerful. He's powerful, and He will forgive.
And that really relates to your second foundational reality, is that in order to believe we are safe, we need to believe that we are forgiven. And we are safe is that second foundational reality. Why does it seem that it's so difficult for women in particular to believe that we are indeed safe?
Well, I think it's how we define it. For the, you know, when we think, oh, can I believe that I am safe in Christ? I think we come with a big definition behind that, and that is, if I say I believe I'm safe, then nothing bad will ever happen to me, or I will have a carefree life, and Jesus will give me anything and everything I want. And that's not what we're talking about when we say we are safe in Christ. It is a multidimensional reality that we have, that we are protected, that we are shielded. I like the word shielded. We're shielded in Christ. You know, 2 weeks ago, my little granddaughter, who is three, was diagnosed that she has cancer. Mm-hmm. And so as I stepped into those moments as a grandmother and then with my son and his adorable wife and went to Tucson and took part in a few days of surgery and aftercare, the sense of safety in Christ was not, I'm going to make her perfectly 100% well, but his presence was tangible. His peace was running through our veins. We would hold on to one another, of course. We would pray. But there was just a deep sense that Jesus is with us and he is taking care of us.
Hmm. The safety does seem to allow you to have those conversations with God, and I fear that some women maybe don't know that they have that access and accessibility to this great and powerful Lord. And so I loved that you made one of your points that we do have access. Why do you find it so important to teach a woman who's just beginning that discipleship journey that they do have access to this great Lord of ours?
I think that it's very easy in our world today to be so busy that we feel we don't have time to personally take time to connect with Jesus. I think it's easy to think going to a weekly Bible study or attending church services on Sunday are enough so that we will be carried in our faith. And this might be just fine, but when life is interrupted in the way that we were interrupted 2 weeks ago with a cancer diagnosis, it's not enough. And so access through, and there's three means of access. One is just through the Word of God, being in His Word for myself, and I would recommend every day. And then secondly, prayer. God has given us the amazing opportunity to connect with Him through prayer at any time, at any place. And then lastly, we have His Holy Spirit living in us, who is constantly reminding us of what we need to know. And basically that is that He loves us so much. So these three means, His Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer, are essential, but they're means of access. So they require that we take heed and use these means of access. So I really hope that women will be moved to understand that they don't have to rely on someone else for their depth in Christ. They themselves can sit with Him personally every morning and let Him speak to their heart.
Hmm. And your fourth way that we are getting a foundation for our faith is that we are becoming that truth, that there is not necessarily an end point where you have become, but that we are constantly becoming. Unpack that a little bit.
Yes, I think if we look in Romans 8, we can see that we're predestined to become like Christ. All of us are becoming like Him. And God is active. He is at work in each one of us. And as we open our lives and hearts more and more to Him, and we give him sway, so to speak, we say, have your way, Lord. We want to obey you. We want you to transform our lives, our hearts. The way we react, turn that into godly response. Help us to understand that we are becoming like you. And, you know, as we go out to make disciples or help another woman grow one-on-one, to know that we are becoming, just like the one we are helping is becoming, it brings a humility to our disciple-making, because we know exactly who we are. We are human and we are growing, and they are human and they are growing. And both of us need Christ. Both of us need God helping us to grow. And so I just think it brings it just stabilizes the relationship when we make a disciple. Because we know that we're just like them. We're on journey. we're becoming.
So there doesn't need to be a point in which the woman doing the discipling is truly at where she says, okay, now I am ready. I am ready now to start discipling.
No.
Because I fear that people then would never reach that point.
You're right. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I think every time I ask God, would you give me someone, Lord, just give me a woman to help during these 6 months this year, Lord, I just begin asking him again to give me a woman to help grow. I am always overcome with my own inadequacy and where I am in my own journey and how I always feel I need to trust him deeply as I help another woman grow. So there's really no good starting point. It's just start.
Well, what was your first experience with finding someone that you would eventually disciple? What were your feelings?
Well, I've always felt, how am I going to do this and who am I going to help? So I think over the years I've just learned I have to learn how to pray. I have to learn how to chat with Jesus. I need to sit down with God and say, I know you want me to make disciples, but who am I going to help? Will you bring someone to me? The first time I ever started in making disciples, it was as a woman was helping me. She was discipling me. And so there was someone she wanted me to help and meet with. And, you know, when I look back to that, the woman that I helped grow, so to speak, I look back and I'm so humbled that if she ever says she got any help from me, I'm just yay. But, you just have to start. And you know, as you do help someone grow, you become friends and all that. But I think you just have to trust God as you help someone grow. And I think the main, when I say to women is pray, ask God. So pray, watch, and receive. Pray and ask God for a woman. Watch the women around you. Who is he bringing? And then receive her when she comes. And don't receive her and act like, hey, I'm the boss here and I know what I'm doing. Just be honest. I'm so excited I get to meet with you. Let's both grow. And I'm going to present content, but it's not going to be, I'm not perfect. So my heart desires that you grow and that we both grow.